Turn in your Bibles to John 12, verses 20 through 26. Today's message is the dying seed. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, dear Lord, for sending Jesus Christ to die for our sins, dear Lord. We thank you, dear Heavenly Father, that we can call you Father, dear Lord. Dear Lord, we would ask today for a spirit of wisdom, for understanding, and for knowledge, dear Lord. We pray, dear Lord, that you would prepare the soil, that you would prepare the hearts, dear Lord, that you would impress the message upon your people, dear Lord. We pray that you would be glorified in our midst today, dear Lord, and that Jesus Christ would be proclaimed, dear Lord, and that he would be glorified today, dear Lord, and we would glorify you, Father, and glorify Jesus Christ. We'd ask the Holy Spirit, dear Lord, to convict where necessary and to comfort where necessary, dear Lord. And we thank you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
John 12, verses 20 through 26. Now there were certain Greeks among those who came up to worship at the feast. Then they came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida of Galilee, and asked him, saying, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip came and told Andrew, and in turn Andrew and Philip told Jesus. But Jesus answered them, saying, "The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. He who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, let him follow me, and where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor." We live in an age where we have life preservers, life belts, life rafts, life boats, life lines, life nets, lifeguards, and even life insurance, which you yourself will never collect. With all this emphasis upon the saving of life, there is probably no instruction as strange as that of our Lord in verse 25. Look at verse 25 with me. "He who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life." We say the one who would save his life must save it. But Jesus said the one who would save his life must lose it. For only by losing it can he save it for the life to come. There is a life to come. Why should we listen to the advice that seems so utterly foolish? If you would find your life, you must lose it. You tell that to a pagan and they will tell you you are insane. Let's look at two reasons why we should listen to the advice of Jesus Christ. First, the one who spoke these words did exactly what he said for us to do. He gave up his life, yet in such a way that we can hardly regard his having done so as being foolish. Jesus Christ lost his life. Secondly, by giving his life, he was extraordinarily successful. He gained both his life and also a vast number of followers. Let us look at a principle drawn from nature. We are to learn from nature. Just as there's four seasons in the year, there's four gospels. You're to learn from nature. Look at verse 24 with me. "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain or much fruit." Turn with me to Romans 1:20. We are to learn from nature. In Romans 1, verse 20, it says, "For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." The Lord uses nature as a witness to his teachings. From the stars, to the animals, to the seasons, everything about nature we are to learn from. You need to quiet yourself down and stand somewhere and learn from nature. That is one of the teachings of the Lord. One of the lessons that we learn from nature, if there's any God in this here, is the principle of death and denial. The principle of death and denial. The truth is that life comes only by death. Jesus illustrates this principle by referring to a grain of wheat, which remains unfruitful so long as it is kept to itself. If you keep a seed on a shelf by itself, it is unfruitful by itself, but which becomes fruitful when thrown into the ground and buried there. We see this in many areas of life. The man who works to only put in time and receive a paycheck is not worth much to his employer. On the other hand, the man who gives himself to that work is invaluable to his employer. He's given everything, whereas the only other guy is just trying to get by. If a mother or a father lives only for himself or herself, the family will suffer. The children eventually will go astray. If a mother or father is just living for themselves and not living for the child, if the children become left alone by themselves, the chances are they're going to go astray. But the mother and father that deny themselves, that die for the sake of their children, okay, you're going to have a blessed family there. Not that there's not exceptions to the rule that kids can't go astray that have blessed mother and father. If this is true, the principle of death and denial in business and in family life, it is particularly true in spiritual life. If you see this truth in the natural realm, certainly far more in the spiritual realm. When we say no to ourselves and we become capable of saying yes to God, we have to learn that the I must die. The I must fall into the ground and die. If I dies, it produces much fruit. If I does not die, there's going to be no fruit there. The I being, I want a job, I want a house, I want a car, I want this, I want that, I want the other thing. As long as you're saying I, you're denying the principle of death and denial. You have to die to the I. That's what the Lord is teaching us here. Turn to Galatians 2:20. Just listen to yourself how much you say I. I want this, I want that, I want this. The Lord is teaching us that the grain of wheat must fall into the ground and die. If it does not die, it will not be fruitful. Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. I have been. Past tense. I have been crucified with Christ. Not that I'm doing it daily, I'm doing it weekly, I'm doing it yearly. I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I, you see? It is no longer I who lives. The I is dead. But Christ, Jesus Christ, the King of the universe, the Jewish carpenter from 2,000 years ago, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. Or if you have the King James, faith by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. That is the principle of death and denial. That is the seed that has gone into the ground, that has died. And it doesn't live for this world no more and for the values of this world. This is the principle of death and denial. It is no longer I who lives, but Christ Jesus. That's the Christian walk. It's not a little of you and a little of him, and today it's him and tomorrow it's me. For you to live is supposed to be Christ. Paul says what? I am dead. When you're in Galatians, look at Galatians 6. 6:14. Do you say this? Galatians 6:14. But God forbid that I should glory except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been, see, past tense, has been crucified to me and I to the world. The I is dead. That's the principle of death and denial. In the ground, dead. Then a plant comes up, a lovely plant, after the seed dies. Most of us live our Christian life as a seed set apart that serves no purpose at all. It's a seed sitting on a shelf and waiting. I have marigold seeds sitting on the shelf at home for years and years and years, and it's still just sitting there until the one takes the seed and puts it in the ground. And the Lord will take you and put you in the ground to die. Turn to Romans 6. I'll show you this principle. I would pray this week you study Romans 6. Well, study the whole book of Romans, and in particular Romans 6, and you will see about death and denial. Romans 6. We're going to look at verses 3, 4, 5, 6, and 8. I'm just going to paraphrase it for you. I want you to see about this principle of death and denial. Verse 3. Do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? You have been baptized into his death. If you're a regenerated person, you have been baptized into his death. That's what your Bible says, and by faith you believe that. Verse 4, therefore we were buried with him. Okay? Baptized into his death. Verse 4, buried with him through baptism into death. You see, die, death, death. Look at verse 5. For if we have been united with Christ, if you have been united together in the likeness of his death. Jesus Christ was the King of this universe, came to the earth in the form of a servant, and died. And it says, what? You have been united together in the likeness of his death. That old person, Daniel, Guido, Barbara, that person is dead. Matt, that person is dead. But by faith, you must believe it. It's not, I'm crucifying myself. There's no such thing. You hear preachers say that all the time. Yeah. I'm crucifying myself. Well, you can get the nails in your feet and you can get them in one hand. You can't get it in the other hand. There's no such thing. You cannot crucify yourself. The Bible says you have been crucified. Look with me in verse 6. Knowing this, that our old man, that old, unregenerate, wicked, vile servant of unrighteousness, what? Was crucified with him. Past tense. You was crucified with him. This is death and denial. Look in verse 8. Now, if we die with Christ, what? We believe that we shall also live with him. You see, once again, we come to faith. The Christian faith is very easy. Do you believe it? The world tells you no. Your family tells you no. Your flesh tells you no. All the wicked things you see yourself still doing tells you no. But your Bible tells you that you have been buried into death with him. You're identified, united together in his likeness. He said, you are to die just as I died. It is only by death that life comes. You see this in many areas, and Jesus also demonstrated this principle by his own death and resurrection. The seed died. The seed died, it was resurrected as a plant. It provided fruit. Fruit, here's the seed, went in the ground, died, here's the plant, then there's fruit on it. Then we were the fruit. The fruit, they died. They was buried. They were resurrected, and then they produced fruit. And that is why we are here today. If you were here today, it's from the people in the first century that died. Yeah. And you are the fruit of that. And even, not even that, but going, Joe's bringing in a platter full of fruit. Going back into Genesis, turn to Genesis 3:15. Here we are 6,000 years later, and this is basically where we're at. Genesis 3, verse 15. That I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. That's it. That was the seed. That was promised. It went into the ground and died. And we're the result of that today. The seed was Jesus Christ. The difficulty, though, with a principle like death and denial is it's often abstract to us. We have difficulty relating it to ourselves. That's somebody else. That's not us. This is why Jesus makes the application in verse 25. Go back to John 12. Back to our text. Verse 25. He who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in the world will keep it for eternal life. He is telling us here that the independent will, the independent will of man must die. The problem really is with your will. The independent will must die. When you say the Our Father, do you say it by rote or do you slow down and say it? Not my will be done, but your will be done. Or do we say, Our Father, one in heaven, I'll be in heaven, can it come? Like that. You pray the Our Father like that or do you slow down? That's what it's all about. The independent will of man must die. He is telling his followers they must actively submit their wills to him. You must forget your will, your way, your plans. For you to live is Christ. His will, his plan, his desires. When your entire personality with all of its likes and dislikes and desires is surrendered to Christ. That's what's being taught in this lesson. For me to live is Christ. You must die. And the Bible says if you regenerate, you're dead already. The only way to experience the fullness of God's blessings is when you consciously and deliberately walk in God's way. You know what the Bible says. Thou shalt have no other gods. Thou shalt not take the Lord's name in vain. Don't steal. Don't commit adultery. Love the Lord thy God with all thy mind, thy heart, thy soul, and thy strength. Love your neighbors that way. Love your enemies that way. Do not think because God is gracious and loving that you can have God's blessing without having him as the Lord. If he's not the Lord of your will, you're not counting yourself as being dead. You cannot disregard God's laws. You cannot disregard the sacredness of marriage. You cannot ignore his instructions about fellowshipping with believers. You cannot retreat into your own little shell of Christianity, me and my belly button and Jesus Christ in my room somewhere. You cannot ignore the lost and perishing world around you. You cannot ignore the high moral standards of Scripture and expect to be happy. If you are not happy, I can tell you why. You have not died to your own desires. You are saying, I about something. Whatever that something is, you know what the something is. God knows what the something is, and the devil knows what the something is. You are not obeying him, and you are not counting as true the fact that you have been crucified with him. If this is true of you, I encourage you to learn this lesson. It is not pleasant to be crucified, but you will never live in the full spiritual sense until you are. You better settle the issue today. Not tonight, not tomorrow, and not next week. You must die to your opinions, preferences, taste, and will. And prove what the good will of God is. Turn to Romans 12, verse 2. Right now, I can hear the flesh and people screaming, no, 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 no. I will not die. I have not died. I am alive and well. You shall not put me on the shelf. But God says in Romans 12, verse 2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Why? that you may prove God today. What is that good and acceptable and what? Perfect will of God. Until you present your bodies to be transformed, you will never ever prove what the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God is. Die to the world, die to its approval, die to the approval or the blame of your brothers or your friends. It doesn't matter what your brothers say, what your sisters say, what your mother, your father, your aunts, your uncles, your co-workers. It matters what Jesus Christ says about you. He says, you are dead. You can go down to the cemetery when you leave here. You can scream all you want at those people in those tombstones. They don't care anything you got to say. And that should be your disposition to those around you. If you say to me, Bill, you're nuts. Thank you very much. You're just talking to a corpse. It doesn't matter. That has to be your attitude, because it's not Bill Potts who lives, it's Christ. It is no longer I who live. And then after you submit your will to him, then you study to show yourself approved unto God. A workman who does not need to be ashamed. You must be willing to do anything for Christ if he wills it. You must say, thy will be done. What are you praying the Our Father for? Not my will be done, but your will be done. This is not a sad and gloomy thing. Your flesh, that's what it's saying to you right now. Oh, you can't do that. You'll be miserable. God is a taskmaster. You'll be sad, you'll be gloomy. The sad thing is to disobey God. To obey is a joy. Do you know your Bible says to walk in the beauty of holiness? It says to walk in the beauty. Not in, ah, this is a real burden. You know, this holiness stuff, I hate this. Now, if it's a bunch of blue laws and man-made laws, I can understand why it's a burden. But to obey God is a joy. Remember what was said of Jesus. Turn to Hebrews 12, verse 2. What Jesus had to say about his will. Hebrews 12, verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For the joy that was set before him. See what he thought about crucifixion? The joy. He thought it was joy in crucifixion. The third element about life through death is an invitation. Jesus in our text says what? Whoever serves me, what?
Serves my Father.
What must? Maybe, could be, shoulda, woulda, must follow me. It says of Jesus in the Gospels that he went from place to place without so much as a home. He slept in the fields. He was weary at times. He was hungry. At times he was hounded and hunted by his enemies. We read these things and think how we would like to have been there. For we say, if I had been there, I would have taken him in. I would have fed him. I would have given him a place to sleep. I would have protected him from his enemies. It is possible that we may have done that. We may have been like Mary and Martha rather than the multitudes. We may have been. If you say I would have taken him in, if you say I would have fed him, given him a place to sleep and protected him, Jesus says today, whoever serves me must follow me today. How can we follow him? The first way to follow Jesus Christ is self-denial. Not self, what's that self-worth that's preached today? Self-worth, self-fulfillment, selfless, self-denial. Just the opposite of what the world says. Self-fulfillment, they teach. Jesus Christ preaches self-denial. That is, you take up your cross and you follow him. Some of us may need a partial change, and some of us may need a total change. Some of us, like I said, today it's me, tomorrow it's Christ, today, you know, maybe it's a daily thing, a weekly thing, a monthly thing. You have to settle in your mind, just like your mother, your father, your grandparents, somebody you know died, that person you are is dead. It's over. That is completely over. That seed that went into the ground to die, is you. It's you. You're the marigold seed that went into the ground to die. For none of us is doing all the Lord has done. Like I said, some of us it's partial. Some of us, you need a total change. Some of us need to be regenerated because we're not even saved at all. The real issue is, once again, the issue of the will. Are you willing to do whatever Christ calls you to do? If you are unregenerated, your will is not able to do anything for God. No, not a thing. If you're regenerated, then your will has been renewed. Your will has been redeemed. The Lord has turned your will. Now you must follow Him. I would ask you, would you be poor in His service? If He leads you to be despised, to be forgotten, to be nearly forgotten because you're working in some obscure mission field. I cannot tell you the details of your case. We all have our own little things. But God knows them and you know them. The question is, will you obey Him? That's the first thing it means to follow Him. Self-denial. I denial. I deny me. I don't like to use examples, but I can tell you I did not want to be a preacher. That is not what I wanted. But I had to die. Another way of following Jesus Christ besides self-denial is in His service. You say, but how can I serve Him? He is not here to be saved, is He? Well, turn to Matthew 25. Self-denial and service. That's how you follow Him. Matthew 25, verse 40. And the king answered and said to them, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these my brethren, you did it for me. He's here today. What's he talking about? Those who fed the hungry, welcomed the stranger, clothed the naked, visited the sick, those in prison. Do you do such things? Do you do such things? Do you go to hospitals, missions, take care of orphans, homeless? Do we care about them? Or do we hand them a tract, tell them you must be born again, you're doomed, and we go on our way? That's a modern kind of evangelism. You need some friendship evangelism. You get up next to that person and you get in there, whatever they're into. Yes. Their pain and their heartache, not towards the tract out the window. Hey, God bless you, you're doomed. A hard question for us today is this. This is a hard question right here for all the Americans right here. Dear Heavenly Father, I ask you burn this question into people's hearts, souls, that you would convict them, dear Lord. A hard question for us today is this. Are we just enjoying the comforts of our middle class life and using our free time selfishly? Okay? Got all the food all lined up there in the back. Got all the cars lined up there. Everybody got the nice suits and clothes and dresses and everything on. Ask yourself the question. Are you just enjoying the comforts of your middle class life and you use your free time selfishly? You want to watch TV, watch the radio, go to sleep, go shopping, go do something. Everything but serve the poor. Feed the hungry. Clothe the naked. Everything but that. This is not the Christianity of the Bible, what you got in America. American Christianity is kind of like, well, you're a Republican, you know, you don't do X, Y, and Z, and, you know, you got a nice house out in the suburbs. That's not dying. That's not follow me, serve me. It's the exact opposite. Do we serve Christ by following Him in holiness? He lived a perfectly holy life. So holy that even his enemies could find no fault with him. Amen. Amen. Or do the people that you know have a long laundry list about you? Oh, they're a liar, a stealer, a cheater, a fornicator, a drug addict, and just on and on and on and on and on. If you would serve him, you must strive. You must be like him in that. To do that, you must put aside all you know to be sin. You're playing with the same sin for 1, 5, 10, 20 years. You have to put aside all the known sin in your life. The Lord does not approve of it. He will not approve of it. He doesn't say, well, you know, in your case, I understand that. I'm going to put down my standard of holiness. I'm going to put down my standard of righteousness because I understand you. Spend time with the Lord in order that you would grow with Him. Then seek to practice what you already know. You know what you have to do. But you keep thinking, well, if I delay it, maybe the Lord will change His mind. He's not going to change your mind. The seed got to go in the ground. It has to die, become a plant, and bear fruit. You may serve Christ by following Him in faithfulness to His teachings. This is especially true for the ministers and for the teachers and for ministers and teachers that are listening to this tape. You are faithful to Christ's teaching. Are you faithful to Christ's teachings in your teachings? Or are you seeking to be clever or to gain a reputation for being different than others? Pride wants to serve Christ by striking out a new path. We got a nice red, what was that, Jimmy? Red prayer cloth? Green prayer cloth? We got the holy water, the holy oil, the red prayer cloths, the green prayer cloths. Pride wants to serve Christ by striking out in these new paths. Spurgeon once said, proud men want to preach new doctrine. Proud men. Pride wants to be the original thinker. Oh, he's the only one like that. He's the only one that understands this. Pride wants to be an original thinker, to judge and to consider and to do anything but obey. You hear today how simple this is? You must die. You must serve Christ. You must follow Him. If you would find your life, you must lose it. This is not new. This is the old paths. True service consists in faithfulness. Your yea being yea, your nay being nay. If you say yes, that's what you mean. If you say no, that's what you mean. True service consists in faithfulness. Look with me in Jeremiah. See the problem that the Jewish people have. Jeremiah 6. Every day you got a new and clever teaching. Jeremiah 6, verses 16 through 19. Thus says the Lord. This is what the Lord would say to the church today. Thus says the Lord, stand in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths where the good way is. See, that's where the good way is. The bad way is in the new paths. The good way is in the old paths. And walk in it. Then, see, you have no rest. Then you will find rest for your souls. You have no rest because you're in new paths and you're in the bad way. But they say, we will not walk in it. See, there'll be people that leave here today and say, we ain't going to walk in that. I don't care what he says. Also, I said, watchmen over you, saying, watchmen are the teachers, the preachers. I said, watchmen over you, saying, listen to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not listen. We're going to leave here today, and we're going to go right on doing our own thing. I don't care what you say. Therefore, hear, you nations, and know, O congregation, what is among them. Hear, O earth. Behold, I will certainly bring calamity on this people. Even the fruit of their thoughts. Why? Because they have not heeded my words, nor my law, but rejected it. You see? Stand, ask for the old paths, the good way, walk in it. Then you will have rest. But they said, we will not walk. Just like it is today. Pride wants the new doctrines. They want the original thinker. I heard it this week with my own ears. A reporter on TV, on the news, was at the book signing in New York City for Joel Osteen. Okay? He is here preaching this week in town. This is exactly what the pagan reporter said. He does not teach the old paths where you preach about repentance and sin. That's the pagan testifying. I heard with my own ears on Larry King on CNN that the Muslim, Hindus and stuff, they love God and they will be saved also. That's the leading evangelical on the scene today, with 30,000 people a week in the Houston Astrodome or Auditorium, somewhere there in Houston. 30,000 people a week. They want the new pads. They want to have their ears tickled. They want to tell them about the life that God got planned out for you. I'm telling you, the life He got planned out for you. You're dead. That's the good message I got for you. You're dead. But He's saying you're going to have the blessed life, the blessed family, the blessed car, the blessed house, the blessed this, the blessed, 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 blessed. And God says, if you would be blessed, you must die. And then you'll be blessed.
Amen.
Having given His invitation, Jesus next offers us two incentives to help us to respond. Because He knows that your flesh is going to be screaming out saying, not me. First, He promised that He would be with anyone who followed Him. Look in verse 26 of John. Go back to John 12. John 12, verse 26. If anyone serves me, let him follow me, and where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor. There's no way around these verses. You know the way around them? You rip that page out of the Bible, or you don't never teach on it. So you do topical studies that you can kind of ignore them verses. They're not there. We won't talk about them. But they are there. They're on page 1091 in my Bible. And I must teach on it.
Yes.
There's no way around it. What does it say? If anyone serves me, let him follow me. And secondly, the Lord promises that God Himself, the God of this universe, would honor such a one. Jesus Christ says He will be with you, and that God the Father would honor you. He said, where I am, my servant, what? Also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. Let us look at the first half of this phrase. If we follow Christ here, here on earth, we can be sure that wherever we are, He will be with us. That's what the Bible says, unless God's a liar. This is a great promise. What is better? What does He say? If anyone serves me, let him follow me, and where I am, there my servant will be also. This is a great promise. Ask yourself, is it better to be in the best of circumstances without Jesus? To have the nicest house on the nicest block with the nicest family, with the nicest kids, with the nicest nice, and everything's happy and clappy. To be without Jesus in those circumstances, or to be with Jesus in a jail cell somewhere, being persecuted and suffering. That's the answer. The only answer is to be with Jesus in whatever circumstances and whatever the cost. If He calls you to be slain. Now, that's not a popular message. That's not going to pack out the house, pack out the money box, pack out the pockets. It's better for you to be slain in a prison somewhere for Jesus Christ than to have the nicest of the nice of the nice of the nice. And there is no way that you can take your Bible and tell me that it teaches anything else. False prophets and false teachers tell you something else. They lie to you. And the Lord only gives you what you want to hear anyway. That's why they heap false teachers onto themselves. They don't want to be told, you need to die. You're dead. Follow Him, serve Him all the days of your life. And if you do, at the end, you will be honored. And if you don't, you will be dishonored, I'm telling you, on the word of God. Yes. If you do not honor Him here and now, He will dishonor you then.
Yes.
And that will be for eternity.
Right.
Where I am uses the present tense. See in our text, where I am, my servant will be also. Look in John 14, while you're in John. John 14, 2 and 3. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. See? It's not just in the present tense, where I am, that's where my servant will be. It's in the immediate future also. That's the promise of Jesus Christ himself. Where I am, you will be also. How can you live your life just for yourself if you really believe that where I am, you will be also? You mustn't really believe that. If here we identify with his sufferings and his sorrow, we will also be with him in glory. Turn to 2 Timothy 2. Verses 10 and 11. Therefore I endure all things for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. This is a faithful saying, for if we died with him, we shall also live with him. That's the principle of death and denial. If you have died with him, you shall live with him. If you have not died with him, you will not live with him. Jesus also promises that my Father will honor the one who serves me. Let me end with an illustration that Charles Spurgeon gave one time. There was a prince and his servant, and they fell into the hands of bandits. A ransom was requested. Negotiations were begun and delayed. During the delay, things go bad for the prince and for his servant. The prince is beaten along with the servant. The prince falls sick. The servant tends to him. The prince comes down with a fever. The servant wipes his brow and gives him cool water to drink. There is even a point in their captivity where the servant finds an opportunity to escape. He could save his own skin. An opportunity arises. I can get out this door over here and leave the prince. But he declines the opportunity. And he stays with the prince. Finally, the prince and his servant are rescued. Now we ask Spurgeon, who is the man to whom the king delights to honor? Clearly, it is the servant. This is the man who was with my son in the prison, who cared for him, attended him, who nursed him when he was near death. With my son in honor. In the same way, Jesus tells us that God will honor those who follow him in this life. That's the promise of the king of this universe. So, if you don't follow and serve, you must say, I don't believe you, God. In this life, his way often involves suffering. Sometimes it involves death, as Job prayed for the persecuted church. Some of our brothers are beaten today for Jesus Christ. But we'll go home and maybe put the football game on, stuff our faces, and hey, glory to God, here's the track. That's not following Jesus Christ. That's not denying yourself. That's easy believism. But Jesus Christ says to us that the suffering is followed by honor, that the Father will honor you, and that the self-denial, the I being denied, will result in praise someday. Can you not hear it? Can you not hear it? I think I hear the king's voice. Stand back, you angels. Make room, you seraphim. Make way, for here comes the man. Here comes the woman who was with my son. He was only a poor, sinful man or woman. He was born in an ungodly time, in the midst of an ungodly people. He didn't know too much, but he or she was with my son. They was like him. They were Christ once. They were dead. They stood by my son, Jesus Christ. Now I will honor him. Now I will honor her. Come up here. Can you hear? The father says, take this crown and then sit there with my son on his throne and reign with him for all eternity. But our eyes are on the here and now and the passing pleasures of this world. Your eyes must be on the future. You will rule and reign with Jesus Christ for eternity. But I don't want to suffer for him. I don't want to follow him. I don't want to die. I don't want to self-denial. I. And the father would say to that man or woman in that day, for you shall indeed be with my son in glory, even as you were with him in his shame. Today, will you be shamed with Jesus Christ? Will you suffer reproach? Will you suffer mockings? Will you finally today, by faith, count yourself as being dead? The seed must be put in the ground, and then the plant comes forth after it dies. And then that plant produces fruit. And then out of that fruit, there's more seed that dies, that produces more plants, that produce more seeds. And it goes on and on and on. That's the Christian life, as simple as you can possibly get it. From one little seed, any kid that's here in this room can understand, a seed goes in the ground, it dies, a plant comes up, it bears fruit. And then that fruit dies, and you have more. And that's the principle of death and denial. Out of death comes life. And dear Heavenly Father, we would pray, dear Lord, that you would cause us, dear Lord, to count it as true that we have been crucified with Jesus Christ, that it's no longer us who live, dear Lord, but Christ Jesus who lives in us, dear Lord. Dear Heavenly Father, I would pray, dear Lord, that you would grant today, dear Heavenly Father, the faith for people to believe, dear Lord, that they have been crucified, dear Lord. That they would understand it is no longer them who lives, but they've been baptized into Jesus Christ's death. But the good news is they have been baptized also into his resurrection. They have been resurrected along with him. They are united with him, dear Lord, in new life. And I would pray, dear Lord, as a congregation, dear Heavenly Father, that we would die to ourselves and that Christ would be the one and not us, but Christ. And if there be anyone here who has never been crucified, I would challenge you to come to Calvary today, ask Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sins, to admit, to confess that you are a sinner, that you deserve to be damned, that you deserve to go to hell for eternity, and that you would ask for mercy today, that you would ask for new life today, that you would ask Jesus Christ to save your soul. And dear Lord, we thank you that Jesus Christ came to save sinners. And dear Heavenly Father, we would ask during this time of reflection, of examination, that we would settle it in our minds that we're dead. It's over. that old thing is old and dead and over with. And I pray, dear Lord, that you work mightily in the hearts of the people today, that there would be none in this room that would be dishonored on that day, but that they would be honored. And we'd ask you these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.